Blog Talk Radio.
Wow! It's a new year! It's a new idea! I remember a long time ago, it was a song saying, I want to be rich! It's time to make it happen, y'all! It's money for sale! Money for sale! Let's make some money, y'all! Come on, let's save some money! Let's create some businesses! Come on, it's our time now. Money, we can money, make all kind of money. Money makes money. Money. Let's create some jobs, some business. Come on.
Everybody riding, wrecking the game, entertainment, and motherfucking Nate Dogg. and jazz.
Hell, here, done, did it again.
That's right. When Martin Lee Anderson went into the boot camp one day and came out dead that same day, I know then they was having against the party on us. They having against the party on us.
I'm yelling black power, pledging my allegiance to free. Forget the politics, my flaw's positive, I'm a leader. Looking across the lines, it's time to charge the cost to y'all. Coming up off and now I'm the boss. Backstab for the riches, they turn and snitches. What goes up is coming down, might as well face the sentence. Of lifelong visions without a limit, to the effect. So don't hold your breath or you be swimming in death. The dollar you claim is mere stature, a fear factor. I'm all about the promised land, the hereafter. Keep up my face and pace my pace. Get on my way, cause time's a waste. And hours for the valor, and your minutes for the minutes. Those seconds are indefinite, so watch how you're living. And signs all here, they just blind to the ear. Deaf to your eyes, open your mind, see it clear. Stay strong.
Murder remakes! Murder! Just like John Woo said! Murder! Murder remakes! That's right. It seems like I met you in this world before. I never seen you. Martin Lee Anderson, you can rest now. We'll take up your spike. We know what they did to you. They murdered you.
It ain't nothing but a gangster party on us. So I take you to the Lord, cause the God I trust. And it's time for some action, no time for relaxing. The jack is going crazy, they trying to keep up on my back. And it's time for some change. Since way back, they've been off the chain. Trying to brainwash us and keep us slang and tame. So I pray to the Lord that he help us maintain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Help us, Lord.
Ain't nothing but a doubt, trap, and a slave cap.
This is real gangsta. Now Jennifer Porter speaking, white girl raping. They caught up in the system, all of a dough they say they taking. It's time for some change, or let me get some change. So I get up on the bus to Tallahassee. Have a sit in with my brothers and sisters. Show you we ain't kidding and you can't dismiss us. And either stop the violence or we're about to get vicious.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Time for some change. Let's take it back in the days before we rock gold teeth and chains and get our minds right. Get ourselves some businesses to keep our grind on tight. Ignite, boom. Cause somebody gotta spark the flame to start the fight. Take a step back and let the world see it was built by black. And we made everything from mouse tracks to stop light. To stop killing my people, fight the fight.
Oh, what I'm saying, nothing but a gangster party on us. Nothing but a gangster party on us. Murder remix on the U.S. Murder remix on the U.S. Hey,
Martin Anderson, I never met you in this world. But when I come to heaven, will you please introduce yourself to me? Will you please let me meet you? I want to meet you. You're a wonderful person. It seems like I know you. I never seen you. You're a wonderful person. God sent you to the world. For a symbol, you're a symbol. Your symbolness would last forever. Marley Anderson, oh, you so much like Martin Luther King. Your death is not in vain. Your death will live.
Remix, remix,
the time
remix.
Of life. It gets
all
hard.
Over the world.
Remix,
that's right.
Remix,
and New York City.
You got to make it through that
Hollywood,
hard
California.
Time.
Remix, 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 Chicago.
That's why.
Florida.
We here to say.
Detroit. Remix, remix.
Only the storm survive.
All over the world.
Now only the storm survive. Cause only the storm survive.
Remix, remix.
Come on, baby boy.
Remix,
storm.
You got it.
Survive.
All yours,
hard time,
baby.
Hard time.
everybody get em. Hard times, the nigga got to spit em. Hard times, you stuck up in the middle, cause in the hard time, my nigga, all it makes you stronger. Hard times, everybody get em. Hard times, the nigga got to spit em. Hard times, you stuck up in the middle, cause in the hard time, my nigga, all it makes you stronger. Like murder, shit I have done. Got mama crying tonight because they locked up a son. I'm getting tired of pressure, getting tired of pain. They got me smoking all this reefer, fucking up my brain. Got me going insane in this bitch. I'm trying to drop the sneakers down, trying to get rich. But who gonna throw the pitch, nigga? If I don't drop the bowl, I represent the east side and the FOMO. And you know, cause pussy niggas getting smoked. Low, 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 niggas don't know. It's my soul, cause I'm breaking so rough and rugged. And people can't touch it, man. It's hard time, got me feeling tough.
Plus a 9, make me wave 158 and that's straight. For me to face what I gotta face in these streets, where I gotta make what I gotta make. But you writing checks, out your mouth, your ass can't tell. Just catching up with you, bitch, you never thought miss you. Cause when you find your issue, your legs and your thighs in the quarters, pushed all in the water. Death by design, a nigga all on your order. Should've thought smarter, should've came harder. But should've, could've, would've, can't help you right now. So it's time for you to make a move, time for you to show and prove. Time to show these niggas that you do what you say you do. Prepping on the block with 22, these niggas say who? The dope man, the big man, the boss man. Ain't got nothing on the left hand, trigger man with the dead hand.
All over the world.
Government inflation, general force gain, purple straight raving, the hood, it ain't all good. Block party, I wish you would.
Remix,
only
remix.
The strong survive, not ride, ride,
all
ride,
the world.
And you know it's about the time, cause I've been doing time.
Oh yeah, remix, remix.
I've been living hard times, cause this is a hard grind. And you know it's about the time, cause I've been doing time.
Japan, remix, remix, remix.
I've been doing hard times since I came out the womb. Took a few puffs of air, hard times for the room. I look left, and then right. The only hard times are what I see in sight. So I jumped up and headed to the door. Told my mama thank you, but now I gotta go. The hard times ain't gonna find me no more. We live in hard times, and that's for sure.
See ya. Only the storm survives.
Back on the grind, trying to beat these hard times. Dodging all the crackers and jackals, trying to get mine. I tell them, step back and check yourself. Too late, silly suckers, done wrecked yourself. Now my people on the ride, and y'all better realize that it's our time to shine. And we gon' claim the prize. But if you can't understand, then please step aside. So we do it, I say we do it, we all do it. Hard time.
Only the strong survive.
cause only the strong survive.
I'd like to thank y'all for riding out with Hit After Hit Music. One time for my boy Disco Nate Dizzle, you know what I'm saying, on the beat, in the P's and Q's, you know what I'm saying. One time for Platinum Kings, putting it down. One time for my girl Sky, you know what I'm saying, representing on the beach, you know what I'm saying. This your boy Mr. Smell So Good, you know what I'm saying. Represent one time for Dutch Dirty. One time for Wrecking the Game Entertainment. One time for Jet Set, who always hold it down up in this bitch, you know what I'm saying. Appreciate you, cuz. If y'all want to holler at him, 1-888-859-3762. Yeah, VIP, that nigga DJ Party Time and the Candy Man with that Chronic Candy, huh? Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Smell So Good. Help hit that, did it again. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you good, man. All right, we in the building.
Wow. That was hot.
Stop.
How you doing? No, I love this. You sound so cute. With your sexy voice. Anyway, hello. how you doing?
Going down live right here on Let's Change the World Wednesday, you know. Trying to change the world, girl. We're going to change the world. But until then, how's your day?
Just like that. It was good. I went shopping with my sister, who completely killed me. She took me shopping for a few hours. She was like, I really need to buy something, and she left with nothing, and I ended up spending money, and I could have killed her for that, and I'm not one to shop, but that's okay. And then I came home, and I called into Goofy's show, who, mind you, just popped into the show and then just left just now. I'm going to have to kick his ass. And and then I did my own show. Me and Seti J, we were so bored.
Right. You can't do pop-up shows, though. You have to schedule shows.
I know, but we just did. I was like, you know what, I'm bored, Seti. You going to do a show with me? He's like, yeah, I'll do it. I was like, all right, sweet.
All right.
So I did it. Yeah, it's not going to happen on a regular like that, but, yeah.
It's just certain times, you know what I'm saying? People be on certain times, you know what I'm saying? People be off. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the building, first off. First caller, you know what I'm saying, of the day, Mr. Vice Grip.
You know, I'm blessed and love each and every day. How are you doing, Miss Thatcher? Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Blessed. I am so blessed to be your guys' friends. I am so blessed to be on the show with you guys. I appreciate the kindness and the love that you all give to Vice Grip. You don't know. Yeah. It's going to be all about the music today on my show. And traveling is going to be about, you know, worldwide traveling and the Vice Grip unit to show today as well. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, we can talk about other things. And I would like to bring in this lovely lady that they call Miss Dana on the show, if you don't mind.
Yeah, she coming on your show or my show?
If you don't mind, I would like to bring her on your show and also on my show as well. She's going to talk about the world tour. And musician and all that good stuff.
We told her to call in?
Yeah, I told her to call in, but I'm confirming it with you.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So, what's the topic today on your show?
all about positivity and enlightenment.
Huh?
All about positivity and enlightenment. Looking for ways to make a positive change in your life that will have a positive effect on others. So we try to create solutions, you know what I'm saying, to some questions. You know what I'm saying? We come up with a question, and we're going to come up with some solutions.
Wow. That sounds good. That sounds good. That sounds interesting, you know? It's all about positiveness, you know, and inspiration, you know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what the people them need, you know, because you don't know the world needs love. We need unity. We need to come together as a people to make this world be a better place to live. You know what I'm saying? Because if we don't come together, we're not going to get anywhere. We are going to fall if we don't come together and unite. Because, like I said, united we stand, divided we fall. When we divide, what's going to happen? We're going to fall. You know? So when we unite, we stand strong and firm. Seeing? And when I say unite, I mean unite with each and every race. People
yeah,
from all.
You know, one sided story, you know what I'm saying? It's going to take everybody to help everybody. So.
Everybody. You know? So it's not a black and white, it's people from all race. All need to come together and let us, you know, unite the world. Because we are the world.
Yep.
We are part of the world. The world is a part of we. Just like this, I don't want to make this song that I come up with about Babylon system. Babylon system set up the world crisis. Seeing Babylon system set up the world crisis. So now Babylon system are falling the world above. So what? Who we need now? God we need.
Mm-hmm.
Babylon system set up the world crisis. And now the world is a fall. Babylon system is a fraud. So all we need is God. Babylon system set up the real crisis. Now Babylon system it a fall and the real ball. So now all we need is God. Seeing Babylon set up the real crisis, you know. So right now Babylon system a fall. Right now the people of the world are ball. So what? So what we need now? We need God to take us out.
On Be Encouraged Radio on his show, and he had like a man show, you know what I'm saying, like a man to man talk show, you know what I'm saying, like you know, just talk man to man, and you know, basically just kind of coming up with, you know, we really got hot and heavy when it came to talking about kids, and I had to call in, you know what I'm saying, talk about that shit. My personal feeling, how we're going to come together as a people is to change ourselves first. You know what I'm saying? And we got to take a step back, take a self-reflection, take some responsibility for our actions, and stop, you know what I'm saying, and realize what we do affects directly affects our kids. If this is for the people who have kids, or, you know what I'm saying, or you in a situation where you're raising somebody else's kid, you know, and so you have to be self-reflective of that. When I was raising I don't say it like that, but a girlfriend of mine back in the day, I raised her two girls, you know what I'm saying? They was 3 and 4 years old when we met. And, I mean, I went out my way. I pointed out a story that because, you know what I'm saying, to compare from then to now. Back then, you know, when she was 3, I think when she got like 4 years old, her class, everybody had to bring in something. They had a little party, and everybody was told, you know what I'm saying, that they needed to bring something in. So, you know, she didn't have anything to bring in. So I sat up all night long, and I baked myself, you know what I'm saying, I baked like 50 cupcakes, you know what I'm saying, for the whole entire class, you know what I'm saying, and brung them in. You know what I'm saying? Took time out of my day to come into the school, you know what I'm saying, and come into the class and sit down with the kids, you know what I'm saying, to show them that and it wasn't no adults in the classes besides the teacher. You know what I'm saying? I was the only, not even the parent, but I was the only one, you know, portraying the parent that actually showed up and interacted with the kids, and parents was invited. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, up to the day, she's like 19 now, and the only thing that she remembers, the most thing that she remembers about when we was all together was that one day, that one incident, you know. And I made that comparison because nowadays we sit up here and parents around me that I come into contact with and their kids, they feel that they have to buy them all of this old bullshit. You know, they got to have them dressed up in the Michael Jordan. He got to have ear piercings, a gold ring, a fucking chain around his neck, every kind of goddamn power toys that come out. You know, parents just stress themselves out to try to keep up with the so-called Joneses, you know, and what's going on nowadays, instead of just, you know what I'm saying, focusing on what the hell really need to get done. And that's focusing on your kids. Check yourself. You have to check yourself when you can check anybody else. You always get parents always want to talk about what their child ain't doing. They child ain't doing this. They child ain't doing that. But then, you know what I'm saying, where the fuck is your child at? You know, your child out in the streets just as well. You know what I'm saying? So we got to a hot and heavy issue about that. And that was my whole basic thing. But at the top of it, brother came on, he said, we got to get in touch with God. We have to get back in touch with him and understand that he is the true creator, you know what I'm saying, that created all of us. And once we have that true understanding, we pass that along to our kids and reinstill that in them. Stop trying to get the church, you know what I'm saying, sending them to Sunday school and you ain't going to church. You know what I'm saying? That ain't showing nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's not setting a role model, you know. You're not doing anything by doing that. You're letting somebody else raise your kids. Just like these new age grandmas, you know what I'm saying, that new parents that just, you know, the young parents basically, they just dump off the kids to the grandma, you know what I'm saying, so they can go out partying and shit. You know, you got to wake up. And if you're going to wait, what's going to end up happening is you're going to wake up too late, you know. And then you're going to find your kids doing like these other little dumbass parents, you know what I'm saying? Start turning around and killing the parents and all this shit because the parents neglect them. You know, a child needs attention, love, and caring. If you ain't giving that to a child, then you were wrong. I mean, they need more time than a little bit. You know what I'm saying? More time than you want to give them, so you have to give them all your fucking time. Yes, you do. For 18 years, you took that choice. You made that decision. So therefore, you need to stick to the script, stick to what you're supposed to do, you know. But these parents want to meet a boyfriend or something, and now they want freedom and all this old bullshit, you know. If you would have stuck with your fucking surrogate, then it wouldn't have been no fucking problem, you know what I'm saying. But the problem is, motherfuckers sticking their dick and everything, shooting babies here, shooting babies there, and then the woman is not stepping up as a woman and not accepting that shit. You know what I'm saying? And just not being an open leg target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of these young adults, artists, them their music, their song, you know, is mostly violence, so not educate you them. So that's why we know as an artist now to come up and start do positive music to inspire the youth. Them, you understand what I'm saying? To let them go the right direction, not the wrong direction. Because, you know, kids go by what? They hear, you know. You understand what I'm saying? So if they hear violence music, they're going to act violence. If they hear music with love, they're going to give love, you know. They're going to give what they get. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to tune into this show. It's another show on here on Blog Talk. It's got a little boy named, what his name is? Hold on, I'm going to. It's like Benji Alabama or some shit like that. Ben's Alabama or some shit like that. A little Indian dude, a little Indian boy, had done raised millions of dollars, you know what I'm saying, for you know, raise millions of dollars for impoverished kids around the world. So if he that young, you know what I'm saying? I want to see what the hell you doing. Talk to him and see what the hell you doing. You know what I'm saying? To be able to do that. And what did you do to put you into that position that you're in? You know what I'm saying? And basically, how can we use that same the same thing that you're doing? How can we use it? You know what I'm saying? In our communities, you know, so we can all start our own grassroots organizations and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. So it's definitely out there, man. I mean, this Blog Talk Radio is cool, and I enjoy it, and I enjoy all the people. But it's a bigger and better purpose out there, and that's what we got to come up with. And so that's what time it is. That's what time it is to focus on. I got a brother gonna be bringing on the show. Oh, go ahead, man.
I said Goofy's on the phone. He's waiting.
Yeah.
Your punk ass just said you weren't calling in because you was cleaning. Dirty motherfucker, you.
I gotta take time out to defend myself.
What'd you say,
you
dirty?
Know what I mean?
Goofy.
What?
Hey, Mr. Goofy, you're here, man.
Hey, what are you doing, man? Blessed love.
Blessed love. Welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I want to talk about, you know, what you guys were talking about right now. Because, Smelly, you did hit a good subject right here.
And, no, I didn't. Be Heard had a good-ass show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. You're on your show. We're not on Be Encouraged show, but I'm
sorry. One
did have a good show yesterday.
Yeah,
and I was glad to be a part of that. But it's like what Smelly said. You need to give your full support to this child. Now, to every up-and-coming parent out there, the more you show love to your child is the more your child will succeed in life. The more you show neglection to your child will do things to make you, I guess you could say, notice them. They will, like, you know, they'll do things that, you know, put them in jail or whatnot, and then that's the only time that you seem to notice them. So in their mind, they will keep doing that so they could get the love that they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
Bonding me out. Well, shit, at least I got your attention.
No,
you know,
I'm just being honest here. It's like
people start
complaining and wondering why their child is, you know, the way they are. Well, you don't complain and start wondering. You got to start with yourself.
Hmm.
Now, I understand about single parents because my mom was a single parent. My dad left us when I was seven. And, you know, my mom and dad together, they were making, you know, they were making a lot of money. Was my dad mostly. But then when he split the coop, my mom was left with three kids.
Yep.
And she fed those three kids. She took two jobs. She put clothes on us. I mean, clothes meaning, you know, the nice clothes. You know, my mom would spend all her pennies to make sure that we would look nice. And, you know, even though that we were out in the streets, my mom would take that time to show us that she loved us. And that's why you guys see that I have so much love to give, because I learned it from my mom. My mom did, you know, my mom didn't have to do that shit. My mom was so pretty, you know, she could have went out, you know, met somebody else and just left our asses. But no, my mom took that responsibility, which she, you know, it's like an oath. You have a child in this world, it's an oath that you must take care of that child to make that child better than what you ever were. And I'm dead serious.
Right.
We don't raise kids to be like us. We raise kids to be better than us.
Right. But don't turn them into a materialistic child either. Don't teach your child the way of succeeding is by having every pair of Jordans or having 10,000 fucking chains on when you were a fucking kid. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Your focus as a child is that, being a child, not being a grown up. You know, a kid walking around looking like an adult is wrong to me. That is totally wrong to me. I mean, with a $200 pair of Jordans on, you know what I'm saying, and you in a goddamn impoverished neighborhood, something wrong with that. I mean, yeah, it's one thing about looking, living, and being nice, you know what I'm saying? But then it's also a limit to that, you know what I'm saying? Because that $200 that you put into them little ragged-ass shoes that he finna go outside, scuff up, you get pissed off because he done fucked up some shoes that he don't see value, he don't understand value, he don't give a fuck about value.
Exactly.
Because that, he's not taught value. You have to teach them values of things. But a $200 pair of shoes where you can go in the Family Dollar and get them same fucking knockoff brand for $30, and all they want to do is play in some goddamn shoes anyways, who the fuck cares?
I'll tell you right now, the knockoff brand lasts more longer than the $200 fucking dollar pair. And that's honesty.
No difference. Your child is no better because you can put him in Giorgio shirts and $400 pants and then send his ass outside to play with the same dirty ass kids. That's what they are. They dirty kids. That's all they want to do is play, have fun, and just that's it. And just be a child. All that fashion, I'm the best. Oh, my kid is this. Fuck all that. Your kid is a kid. Let that child grow. Let that child have a childhood. Not be a teenager before he or she is the age of 10. You know what I'm saying? And they already thinking that teen and shit, which is what you got now. You got these old punk ass little kids running around thinking that they have a mentality 5 years older than what they actually are taught.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I grew up fast. At the age of 11, I was selling cocaine out in the streets, and I was making money to help my mom. My other brothers and sisters, they didn't care. But I took that initiative because I got tired of seeing my mom the way she was. She would work all her damn time just to make us happy when my mom wasn't even happy. But yet, once I started giving her hundreds and saying, "Mom, you go buy yourself something nice." You know, as a little kid, being 12, 13 years old, giving your mom that kind of cash, it makes you feel unstoppable. And, you know, I regret my life, but then I also thank my life because it showed me the real world and how real things work. But there's also other opportunities out there. If I didn't think about money and I thought about education, believe me, I would be even more smarter than what I am.
Yeah.
I only got a little bit of education. I do have a college degree. I got my college degree before I got my high school degree. And I know it sounds crazy, but I'll tell you right now, I'm a con artist. I could take someone's diploma and I could change it to my own. And that's what I did to get into college. And I'll tell you right now that an education, fuck the million-dollar clothes, fuck all that shit. An education is what you need to put in your child. Your child will grow up in this world wondering where the fuck does he sit in this world. But if you put an education in his brain, he will grow up in this world ready to start a new world. And I'm telling you right now, everybody, all the parents out there, educate your children. It doesn't hurt to make them a little bit smarter. Because that's what these people nowadays look for. Who's got the smarts? It's not what you could do. It's how you could create something.
Well, I'm trying to have you put the ideal of I want to be like Mike in your child's head. And put that, I want to be like Obama. Not that you want to be the president, you just want to be a person of vision. You want to be a person of change. You want to be a person of unity. You know, you want to be a person that's a representation to the world, for the world to see and be proud of. You know, Michael Jordan, if you say that name right now, a lot of motherfuckers don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of little kids
go out there. You mentioned Michael Jordan. They wear his shoes, but they don't know the brother.
Thank you. They don't even know who the fuck you're talking about. Because the media done blew up the fact that Michael Jordan's shoes are cool. These bitches ain't gonna make you jump no fucking high, run no fucking faster. And they ain't scuff or damage proof. But these are the shoes that you should get if you want to be cool in society. You want to be cool with friends. Fuck cool. What the hell is cool?
Just being popular, that's cool. And I'll tell you right now how I got my popularity was because bullies were picking on me. I had to teach a bully in junior high. And ever since I beat that bully's ass, and in front of everybody in the classroom, I was Mr. Popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you right now, I didn't ask for it. It just happened. And I didn't have no Jordans. I had Converse. I had a lousy $20 pair of Converse, $17, $20 pair of Dickies, and a nice $5.99 long white tee on. That's what I would rock in high school and in junior high. I wasn't all fashionist, but yet I represented myself. I didn't make sure nobody made me a punk. I mean, it's one thing to go around and trying to be somebody, but if you're going to go around and getting punked, like most of these rappers are showing everybody that it's okay to get punked, I'm telling you, you ain't going to have a nice life. Because I'm serious. In this world, when somebody is I guess you could say, brought down because of, they didn't handle their business, that will always stick on you. But I'm telling the world right now, it's not about destroying this world. It's about rebuilding this world. I found more out of life building this world than I did destroying it. Believe me, I love to shoot people. I shoot guns like it ain't no thing. Because why? Because it just makes me feel more relaxed. I have so much tension in my body because of where I live and the way I am. You know, I like to do that shit. But as I grew up and realized that this is not the only way of life, and I'm dead serious, everybody needs to realize, if you see your kid leering into the gangs, sit down and have a talk with him. Find out why he's in the gang. Is he doing it to be cool? Is he doing it to try to fit in? Or is he doing it because that's what he really wants to do? And I'm serious, parents, everybody, you need to talk to your kids. They will tell you whatever they got to tell you, because why? Because you're their parent. And if you're a real parent and you really know your kids, you already know off the top. They don't even have to tell you. Like my mom. She read my ass. I couldn't keep a damn secret from her. Because she knew. And that's what you parents nowadays need to know, is what your child is up to, what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, but no. The problem is they listen to the media, and the media sit up there and talk about, oh, your child needs privacy. Your child needs their alone time. Fuck no, they don't. The fuck you mean they need? No, they need to. I need to know what the fuck you doing 24/8, not 7, 24/8. If your ass is motherfucking getting into some trouble, I'm the one that's going to be accountable for that.
Exactly.
They're going to holler at the parent. So hell no, it ain't got shit to do with no fucking child. Child has no rights. The only thing they have is the right to live, breathe some fucking air, and learn. That's the only right that they have. And the right to shut the fuck up and grow up. That's it. You get grown, then you run your mouth. You get on your own shit. You get your own. You make your own money. You get your own job. You start pulling in your own shit. Then you can start talking. Up until then, it's all about learning.
Exactly. Because I'm telling you, children, from being a children, from 0 to 18, that's a learning experience. It's like birds teaching other birds to fly. It's a learning experience. And the more they learn in that time frame, because that's the only time that they're really going to learn. Once they, the most they learn in that time frame is the more better that person will be on his way to succeed in life. But if you parents, and I'm not saying all the women, but there's guys out there too that drop their kids off, like Smelly says, to grandma or you know, that don't even care.
Yeah.
For real. And, you know, it's sad because, I mean, I got a little dog, but shit, I treat that kid as a real child. And I sit there and watch him sleep. That's a real parent. When you can sit there and watch your child sleep and be so thankful that you have something to love so much, that's a real parent. Not just, oh, he's asleep, okay, let's go out.
Or you're waiting for the ass to go to sleep. You're waiting.
Or NyQuil in their ass. Oh, you're tired? Okay, let's put you to sleep now. That's what a lot of women out here in California, NyQuil their kids, go out to the clubs till one overdosed one and killed them.
Hmm.
Wow.
And I'm dead serious. If you are a parent, regardless if you one night stand or whatnot, you have a responsibility in life. It doesn't take that long to throw a rubber on. It doesn't take that long. And it doesn't make you less of a man if you put a rubber on. Believe me, one rubber will save you millions.
No way.
Amen to that.
And your freedom, shit.
But I'm telling you, if you're a parent, you have a responsibility. Until they're 18, you have a responsibility. And I'm serious. The reason why this world is so fucked up, because we've had lazy parents. Compare parents to from the 40s to the 50s to the 60s to now. We don't got no Leave It to Beaver shit. As much as I've always wanted a Leave It to Beaver family, fuck, I never had that. My dad would come home. My dad was like Tony Soprano. He would come home all hours of the night. He'd be out with his friends doing his thing. And, you know, I've always wanted a dad. He would take the time out of his day whenever, you know, he had nothing to do to throw the football around with me. And he would always go to my football games and encourage me to be an NFL player. But once he found out that I wanted to go to a college called Nebraska University, but I didn't get accepted there because they said I cared more about showing off than what I did about playing football. And that hurt me. Instead of my dad being there telling me, you know what, son, it's okay. No matter what, you're going to be something. Instead of my dad saying that stuff to me, you know what my dad said? He told me that all I thought about was myself and not what others thought. And, you know, no. It's just that, I'm sorry. There's some players that are better than the others. But yet I've always got a lot of disrespect and a lot of fucking hedonism. Because I was Mexican. I wasn't the black child. I wasn't, you know, the star that you see in the NFL. There ain't no Mexican fucking stars in the NFL. And when you've got somebody playing two different positions, skinny as hell. When I was in high school, I think I was 10 pounds more than Smelly. I was 160 pounds. At 6 foot in high school. And I was knocking motherfuckers over. Steamrolling their asses. And I would do that because I knew that it made my dad happy. And my dad could talk to other people over there saying, that's my son. Because that was the only time my dad showed me affection. But see, parents, what you need to do is always be there for your kids.
Yeah,
and I've learned and observed my family, my mom, and my dad. And I know damn well that I'm not going to be, well, I'm going to be more like my mom and show love, but I'm not going to be like my dad and be there once in a while. Because I see what it does to somebody. Because I'm the somebody. And it did hurt me. But now that you know, he's old and, you know, he don't got it no more. Oh, he wants to hang out with me.
Yeah, he trying to suck your youth up now. He can't suck over, can't take away my youth. You should have lived youthful with me when I was young. Kids are your key to being young. That is your key to youth. If you stay active with your kids, you will stay healthy. You won't be overweight. You won't be this. You won't be that. You have to stay active. Once you sit your ass down and watch your kids play, therefore you are now inactive. You are not only inactive with yourself, you are also inactive with your kids. You need to be right out there throwing the ball with them, not watching them throw the ball. You know what I'm saying? They out there motherfucking shooting balls. So what if you can't shoot no hoops? Get your ass out there and shoot bricks. You know, if you're running around in the backyard, you get your ass out there and run around in circles too. You know, get physically fit. You know, we got that. That's a problem too. We got too many sit down parents. I mean, there is no such thing as sitting down and sit down parenting. It's 100% interaction. That's it. I mean, shit. Okay, I like what Nett said. Okay, one thing Nett said was, which is a true statement. You know what I'm saying? You got parents that grew up always getting their ass whooped and thinking that, well, as soon as I get my kid, I ain't gonna never beat them because my mama beat me, you know. But then when you too soft on your kids and you too nice to them, then that's that buddy buddy shit. Then they gonna do things just to push the limits to see just how far they can go. But that pushing the limit is what's gonna fuck them up in the long run. Because they're not going to know no limitations once they get older because you didn't set any boundaries. You didn't instill, hey, you can only go this far or your ass going to fall off that cliff. No, they just going to keep going and going until finally they go ahead and just get too close to the edge. And then they might look over, but the damn edge ain't sturdy, so it starts to crack on them before they get a chance to get off of the edge. Now they done fell over the fucking edge.
No, but to add to that, Smelly, you got to put the law down. And that's one good thing that my mom and dad did. They whooped us. Well, my dad didn't whoop us that much, but he was there. He probably made the call. And my mom went out and did the dirty work. But yet, you know, I know all these laws that if you whip your kids, but bullshit. One of my friend's kids, at 7 years old, stole his car and crashed it down the street. Why? Because he wanted to be cool. Because his friend said that you can't do that. So he whooped his ass and got in trouble for it. So he told the judge, what am I supposed to do? Just say, okay, son, don't do it again. You need to put a boundary to where the parent stands and where the child stands. They could only go so close to that boundary, like a fence, to see that, hey, that you really mean business by whooping them. I mean, don't whoop them, just come home and be all mad because your boss punked your ass and then you want to whoop them. Whoop them for something they did bad. So it shows them in their mind that if I do bad again, I'm going to get this pain. Dead serious.
Oh, yeah. Vice, you got something to say on that, homie? Oh, yeah. Well, Tasha,
You know what? I agree with the both of you. I'm just going to keep quiet. I'm just going to keep listening because... yeah, I don't want to get too much into it. It's okay. I'll just listen.
Why don't
today.
You want to get into it, Tasha?
No, because it's okay. It doesn't really matter. My
You got brothers and sisters, right?
I agree. I agree with the both of you. Yes, I do have brothers and sisters.
Okay, and what like growing up, was your parents, was your mom and dad, was they relaxed on y'all, or was they, you know, real forceful? I ain't gonna say forceful. Did they reinforce? You know what I'm saying?
My parents were very, very hard on my brother and sister. They were six and 8 years older than me. I was born a while after them. They were very strict on them. More so because they were both, my brother and sister kind of got involved with the wrong crowd at a young age, and my parents were worried about them, so they thought, you know, to be strict on them would make it better, and it just made it worse, and I had to sit back and watch everything. And sitting back and watching my mom cry every night because my sister's run away from home again, and my brother, you know, I mean, my crying because my brother's on drugs and all that shit, like it wasn't a very good thing for me to grow up and watch. But my parents were strict on me as well, but not as bad as what they were with my brother and sister. My parents have never like hit my brother and sister. They never hit me either. Like, we'd get, you know, a slap on the ass if we were naughty or whatever, but we never got whooped. Shut up. We never got whooped.
Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
You're crazy. But, we never got whooped, though. And, but, I don't know. Like, to me, see, because my sister and my brother still don't have their shit together, and they're like, 38 and 36 years old. I mean, my sister's doing a lot better than what she was, but my brother, he's in a completely different, I don't know what the hell's wrong with him, but he needs to get his shit together. And to me, you know, my sister's good though, like she's getting much better, and I'm proud of her for that. But my brother, like, you know, and they're both single parents as well, and, you know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to. I mean, I watch how my sister struggles, and I try my best to be there for her in every way possible. With my brother, like, his kids live with their mom, you know, when she's remarried and she's had another baby to her husband and stuff. But, you know, my brother might be going into jail very soon, which is really sad. And the kids have to sit back and see that, and, you know, it takes an impact on kids' lives. And I don't know. It's just, man, I don't know. My upbringing personally, I was good. My parents raised me right, and I have my head screwed on right. And, you know, I did some stupid shit when I was younger, but I grew up out of that and decided, okay, I can't keep doing this. But my brother and sister, they, yeah. I don't know. I'm just
kind of... But through, you know what I'm saying, through that, through all of that, through growing up and experiencing all of that, I mean, see, you had a chance, you was the bottom of the bunch, so you actually had a chance to sit back and watch, you know what I'm saying, and being carried out. So you kind of knew, that still goes back to the Willie Lynch letter 1712, and until everybody on this phone reads that, y'all ain't going to know what the fuck I'm talking about. But that is a very important pamphlet to read, just so you have a worldly understanding. Not, it ain't about black. It's not about white. It's about having an understanding of why we do the things that we do, or geared towards some of the things that we do. You know, and you, so I'm not even going to get into that. But my point about that is when you are a product of the Willie Lynch letter. You know. If your parents did heavy discipline on your brothers and sisters, so they wouldn't have to do anything to you, you know, it's a psychological effect, you know. And if you were sitting there, and you are the product of this psychological effect, you know, and they are a product too, because at the same time, when you discipline a child, it's a catch 22. It either going to work or it's either not going to work, and the child either going to be conform or it's going to be defiant. If you're going to stay defiant, then you have to find another way to reach that child. If you keep going and ramming his head up against the wall, ramming it up against the wall, and that ain't working, then you have to stop before you and find another way, find another solution.
Well, their kids aren't disciplined at all.
But that's a reflection on, see what I'm saying? That's a reflection on the parent. He got his ass whooped, so now he turned around and he's not doing the same. He's not continuing on. He should, but he's not. So therefore, that is the product of an undisciplined child. If you let a child run wild, that's what he's going to become, a wild child.
See, but my brother and sister, like I said, they weren't ever beaten badly by my parents, you know. Like, that, I mean, my parents, like my dad, when he would look at you, I would be fucking shitting myself, because just that look, you'd know you're in trouble. Like, he wouldn't even have to do or say anything. You know that you are in trouble. And I was always too scared to do something wrong because I didn't want to get that look. You know, my brother and sister, they weren't whooped as kids growing up. But I don't know, my brother's a very, very, very violent guy. He's really, really violent, which is really sad. And I've actually, for about 15 years of my life, I used to get my ass kicked by my brother almost on a daily basis, until one day I hit him over the head with a frying pan. which was funny at the time. And then I had to run, and I got my ass whooped, man. Oh, my goodness. He fucking almost killed me. But, you know, my brother's a very violent person, and none of us, like, not even my parents, like, none of us are violent. But I don't know where the hell he got it from. But he, you know, still to this day he is. And he's come very, very close. And I told him, I said, you do it again, I swear to God, I'll fucking kill you next time. I wouldn't, but, you know, like, I'm not going to deal with that shit anymore. But he doesn't discipline his kids or anything like that. And his kids are very,
he knows he has a violent temper, and that's why he doesn't discipline the kids. You know what I'm saying? Because he might feel that he'll go off and won't be able to control himself. You know what I'm saying?
He yells at them and cusses at them and calls them fucking stupid and this and that. And I'm like, dude, you don't do that to your kids. They're
right,
like,
you can't even do that.
Like, don't do that.
Don't do that
to me.
I'm saying, when you verbal abuse people, that don't do nothing but build up inner anger in them. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather put a belt on a child before I sit there and just call him a little bastard, a little shit, a little fuck.
Yeah.
Other
exactly.
Names.
No,
me too.
I agree.
Amen to that shit.
That's all you need to do. Words exchanges. And while you beating his ass, you should be explaining why you whooping his or her ass. Not sitting up there saying, you little motherfucker, you little fucking shit ass, at all the words that you can think of. That means now you taking anger out. There's something wrong with you. You got to take a step back and self-reflect for a minute. What the fuck is really wrong with me? Because all this anger is coming out, and I'm putting it towards this child. I mean, an ass whooping is one thing. A beating is something totally different. When you beat your child and you leave marks and bruises, okay, that means, you know, I went a little overboard. And so you need to take a step of self-reflection, because you don't have no limitations on your discipline. You don't know how to control yourself. So, which is wrong. Now you got to check yourself. That'll go all the way back to you. You have to check yourself. Let's bring one more call in on the show. Welcome to Wrecking the Game Radio. Call the 703 area code. Live on the show. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, it's Donna.
It's Donna. Hi, how are you?
Well, I know your voice, and I ain't talked to you in I don't know what, a month or two now.
Nah, it's been just a couple of weeks.
Well, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you, thank you. I'm fine. I've been away for a couple of days, but I had tuned in probably about a week or two ago to listen in, but just for a few minutes. But I
You might have caught one of our offshoots.
I couldn't stay for too long, but I just kind of wanted to sign in and maybe let you all know that I was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you can't come with no guests. We don't do the guests in the chat room, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We do it like that. But this, everyone, this is Miss Donna from XIG. That's, what is
it? It's Exodus International Group.
There you go. You knew what it was.
Hey, Donna.
Hi, honey. How are you?
And this is my co-host, Miss Natasha XXX from Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Australia is one of the destinations that we haven't been to yet. We've got a really bad connection,
oh, really?
I think. Yeah. I'm a tour operator and meeting planning service located here in Alexandria, and we do customized programs for groups and individuals.
Martha. Okay.
So we've been to Europe, and we've been to Asia and Africa and the Caribbean and to South America.
Hello?
And I think one of my – hello?
We're
all here.
Yeah, we're here. At any rate, Australia – I've sent some people to Australia, but I have never been myself.
Been to the outback, you ain't put a trip on.
It's beautiful.
Well, anytime you're ready to go, DJ, just let me know.
Hey, shout, what's up? Now, we got to hit Jamaica first, though. We got to go to Jamaica first, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to hang out in Jamaica, check that out. And then definitely, you know, to hook up with Miss Natasha. But now she's actually originally Macedonian.
Macedonia.
Yeah.
Mhm.
I'm currently studying Macedonian, Vietnamese, German, African. And Serbian. I'm doing a little Serbian too, you know what I'm saying?
He's doing very well.
Taking the Serbian just so I have, you know, and a little dialect. But yeah. Oh, darling, check out and this is something good you can give to your customer and make it part of your tourist package.
All
right. It's called BYKI.com. BYKI.
.com.
And
okay.
It's you heard of the Rosetta Stone?
Yes.
Okay, this was before the Rosetta Stone ever came out. They're just trying to sell the Rosetta Stone. This website is a free. It's the exact. It's Rosetta Stone for free.
Okay.
That's great. That's the easiest way to describe it. It's the Rosetta Stone program for free, but it's called Before You Know It, and it's a language learning website, and a great thing. You can learn, I mean, if you click on it right now, you'll see all the different languages from A to Z.
I see.
Every language. And once you click, it teaches you the basics, greetings, how to buy food, different things, you know, just to survive, that's what I learned in Germany. They sent us through a week-long class, and, you know, by the end of the week, we knew how to order certain foods, the days of the week, how to count and how to get on, you know, the interstates and roads and different stuff. You know what I'm saying? Names and exits, enter and exits and stuff like that.
Wow.
You know, just be fluent in the language when you go to different countries. You just need to know how to get around. And the citizens will teach you everything else you need to know or want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been from my personal experience. You know, and from my personal experience, when you go to another person's country and you can just, if you act like you know what you're talking about, you know what I'm saying, they welcome you more than you trying to act like you don't know the language at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so
wow, they have different.
Yeah.
Like I clicked on South Africa, and they came up with Afrikaans and Dutch, which is a part of their language. That's really interesting. It's phenomenal. Definitely.
I'm taking Afrikaans. I've been taking Afrikaans just to study up on that. You know what I'm saying? So when I go back and step off that plane, I'd be like, you know what I'm saying? What's that? So actually, hold on. Let me open up my mind. Yeah.
Well, I was listening to your. Did you say? I'm sorry. What was your first name?
Oh, Natasha.
Natasha. Well, I don't know why I want to. I had a meeting earlier today and called the lady Denise, or no, I called her something else, Deborah, throughout the whole thing, and I was just like, and then she corrected me. I was so embarrassed. I don't know why I wanted to call her. I think I was calling her Deborah. I don't know why. I guess it was too early. I was listening to what you were saying, and it has really touched a lot of areas within my own life, because we were raised by someone for a little while my mom and dad went off to work back in the 50s and 60s. And even though we have put a lot of it to rest as far as, you know, the abuse side of it, if you will, I don't think going outside and getting a tree and dang near killing you is, I think that's a little bit taking it a little bit too far. Or, you know, I remember a lot of instances that really make me kind of cringe at this point in my life. And so when I see other people, mothers and fathers, and the way that they interact with their own children, I think that you and I can see the difference. And, you know, the parent themselves have stepped over the line, and they're taking out their frustration on the children, because we see the point where you should really try to get a handle of yourself before you move any further. So I can kind of understand, I can understand where you're coming from, and I think that my sister and brother and I have come through pretty well. Not everybody takes care of your children like you do. Not every child has the same experience within their own household as you do. For instance, you might be away one day and something might have happened that could have totally been catastrophic to the mind that they can't, as a child, tell you about. They can't articulate what happened. But it has changed their lives for the rest of their lives. And unfortunately, you know, we don't ever know what it is, and or may not ever know what it is. I mean, even to this day, my sister and I are still having conversations about our past lives and why she doesn't like certain things, you know, why I don't like lima beans. I hate lima beans. And I used to be made to eat those doggone things, and I used to sell them to my sister and tell her I'll do this, I'll do that, you know. If you just eat them so we can go and play, you know, those things depress me and send me off in a different, you know, mindset if I had to be forced to eat those things today. But, you know, I really would not know. It's sad about your brother. It's really, really sad. But you know that it has stemmed from childhood, and if he could just get a handle on that and where he feels things went wrong for him, I think that, you know, that would be a turning point for him, but not until then. You see,
he sits back and he blames my parents for his upbringing, and he's always blamed him. But to me, it's like, If they were so bad as parents, how come I'm normal? Well, not normal, because no one's normal, but how come I'm not
like him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how come I didn't turn out like that?
Yeah.
It's definitely not my parents' fault. My parents did every single thing that they could to put a roof over our head and to put clothes on our back and give us an education and everything like that. So it has absolutely nothing to do with it. They did the best job possible that they could do. At the time, maybe I didn't think so at the time when I was younger as well. But now I look back and it's like, I'm sure we all do. We look back and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I see where they're coming from now. If only I realized that back then. You know.
There are a lot of, you know, I have another friend who's, you know, they all grew up in the same household and, you know, two of the brothers went bad and two of them went right, you know, and they all had the same, you know, pretty much the same experiences, but, you know, everybody goes away off to college or whatever, and they create themselves, you know, away from home, and you know, they should be normally coming away with the same kinds of values, you know, the same foundation.
Yeah.
580, you live on the Reckoning Game radio show. What's that?
Yeah, good morning. This is BC, man. How you
this
doing?
Is who?
This is BC. This is Intimacy and Love in your chat room.
Oh, this afternoon, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Having an interesting conversation. You calling in to jump on it or just calling in to say hello?
Hey, this was, you know, you mentioned, somebody mentioned Jamaica and Amsterdam and Australia and all that other good stuff, and then You know how I do it. Talking about kids and what you should do and whether you should beat them, whether you should talk to them and all that good stuff. I think we were on the show last night in reference to that.
Yeah, that was Be Encouraged. Yeah, I was on the Be Encouraged show and on Be Encouraged Radio, and he was covering all that. And what I did was just basically kind of just that little small part at the end when we started talking about the kids. You know, because his whole show was covered, like, from A to B about men needing to step up, men needing to take responsibility, men. It was all about the man show. And then at the end, you know what I'm saying, we started addressing the kids. So that's just, you know, that always touches, sparks something inside of me to really talk about that type of issue. Because if it's not for our kids, you know what I'm saying, we are dead. We are, as adults, are dead. I mean, if you don't have somebody to care on your bloodline, somebody in your family to care on your bloodline, your future is dead. You have no future. Because after your years are up, you're not going to leave anything. You're not going to leave a living legacy to carry on, you know what I'm saying, your mission in life, whatever that may have been.
Well, they don't understand. You know, look, I'm a single father. You know, been a single father for the last 15 years. You know, I came, you know, I was a product of grandparents, you know, that raised 13 kids and so on and so forth. You know, a bunch of young men and stuff, and they have a legacy, you know. You know, my mother and father have a legacy. I have a legacy. Now it's for my kids to carry on. But what happened, I was taught, you understand? I was taught right from wrong. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know right from wrong. We know, but we don't want to do it. You know, I mean, you know, this complaining, this excuses, I have no toleration. By the zero tolerance, you know, for complaining and excuses, you know, when now we can't do this and you're going back. Hell, my father whooped the hell out of me, right?
Yeah,
but do I have to whoop the hell out of my kids? No. You know, I can reason with these individuals. My sons sit up here and they know me. You know, I'm like my grandmother. All you had to do, my grandmother used to raise and take care of during the summer 27 grandkids by her damn self, sleeping on the floor, doing everything. All she had to do was turn around and look. And that's how I raise my kids. All I got to do is talk. I don't talk twice to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an educator in the system, and I tell these kids, and I'm in the inner city school, and I let them know, you know. But that's not, we're not bringing that no more. You know what I'm saying? You know, we don't have to kill our kids, but you got to put the fear of God in the kids. So let them understand, hey, you know, I'm the boss.
The fear of God. The one thing important about that, you have to put the fear of God, not the fear of you. They don't need to fear you. You're not the one, you're the parent. They ain't supposed to be scared of you, you know what I'm saying? They're supposed to respect you, though. You know, they're supposed to know to come to you and be able to talk to you. If they're scared of you, they're not going to come and talk to you. They're not going to come and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, you know, something's wrong. This is going on with me, you know, because you done instill, you done scared the child. It's all, you know, it's about caring for the child, not scaring the child. And, you know, that's why I was saying whoop the child, not beat the child. You know what I'm saying? But then just like you had a point where they've seen that, though. You know, this is all I'm saying. You've seen, you know what I'm saying, you grew up with the beatings and all of this. So somebody has been through that. You see what I'm saying? So you can sit here and reinstill in your kids, well, look, if you don't want to, you know, get your ass whooped like I did when I was growing up, then this is what you need to do. Bam, 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 bam. Now, if they don't respect that, then you have to take it to that next level. But, I mean, if you're a good enough parent, And it was involved with the grandparents, you know what I'm saying? Like, you took them over to granddad's house, they took them over. They learned that. I learned so much, you know what I'm saying, going over to my grandma's house, seeing her take care of other people's kids, you know what I'm saying, that wasn't even related to the family. You know, when moms and stuff had to go to work, she was the babysitter, you know? So I grew up with other kids, you know, my grandmother taking care of other kids, you know what I'm saying, besides just us. So she showed love. Not even for her own family. She showed love for strangers.
You're right. You know, and that's what it is, man. I originally I was born in the Caribbean. You know, that's my basically dead Canada, and sometimes Europe is my spots that I go and hang out. You know, and I tell kids, my kids have done that. You know, I show them where I used to live. I show them that I used to use an outhouse and go like 200 yards to fill up a bucket with water. You understand what I'm saying? And bring that to take a shower with and all that other good stuff. I remember when my daughter went to the country in Trinidad and Tobago, she called me, you know, Dad, you know, I'm bathing out of a bucket. I said, hey, you know, so what? You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's a lesson learned.
Yeah, that's a real life experience. I mean, and She was actually blessed that you gave her the jump on it, you know what I'm saying, to even prepare her for that, though.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, because she could have went up there and been so Americanized, so fucking lazy like a lot of motherfuckers around here don't even wash their ass in a regular shower. So, you know, for her to have to go out there and live amongst the earth, you know what I'm saying, which in the end is all that's going to be left anyway, is what we fuck we came from, the earth.
But it makes you humble, man. Look, I, you know, Gabe's not a continent I have never touched down on. Numerous countries, and to include the States and so on, numerous places. Like, you know, I like to travel. This is me. In the military, I did, 23 years in the military, bro. And
yeah,
after the military, I traveled too. I still travel to this day. You know, I go, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. And that's how I am. And I do that with my kids, you know. And
yeah. You ready to go to Jamaica? You ready to go to Jamaica?
I didn't hear you, dude.
Get ready to go to Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you something, right? You got islands in the Caribbean, man. There's hidden secrets, man.
Jamaica.
You got to go to Union Island. You got to go to Caracou. You got to go to St. Vincent and all them places that are so pure and raw, you know, to the world.
Vice Grip is from Jamaica. That's why he's the walking advocate for Jamaica.
Look.
And Aaron Jamaica.
Trust me, I can tell. I can tell. You know what? I'm from Trinidad and Tobago. You know what I'm saying? And every time I talk about Trinidad. Jamaican going to do the same thing. Aleutian going to do the same thing. A Catician going to do the same thing. So, you know, we about, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, we are one family. But, you know, our little country is about the top, you know, but we're still going to get together and do the things that we need to do, you know.
Right.
Jamaica and Trinidad is similar, you know, that's what I'm saying, same island, you know. Basically, you have a spring over there in Trinidad, we have a spring over there in Jamaica, a spring and jacuzzi, you know, from natural nature. Do you guys have?
See how he's selling, trying to sell Jamaica? We got the hot springs. We got the hot tub.
You got the Jamaican red striped beer.
But that's good, man. That you know, and that's good. You know, and you know, for me, when I came over, it's kind of hard for me. You know. Let me tell you something, right? Go back to where you came from. You know, did you come by boat or did you walk and all that nonsense? You understand what I'm saying?
Thank man,
from the day I land in Detroit, man, on the east side of Detroit, I was fighting. From the day I got off the damn plane, I was fighting. You know, and you know, join this, do that, and all that other good stuff. But they didn't realize, you know, I came from a place where we had all that.
Yeah.
You know, and my father and mother just wanted a different, you know. And I was more. Let me tell you something. I was more afraid of my father than some individual telling me to join a gang. Man, that dude would have killed me.
Yeah, man. I would like to go to other places like Africa, you know, Trinidad. I would like to go have experience with other places. But in Jamaica, when I go back to Jamaica, man, I feel like I'm in heaven, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, the Caribbean that you can... I just came from Union Island not too long ago, right? Get up in the morning. At 5 o'clock in the morning, right, I'm down there. You know, me, my father, and my mother, we're going on the beach. We're going to take a swim. And then we're going to come back. You know, and you're walking down the road, you're picking fruits and all that other good stuff, talking to the neighbors and this and that, you know.
Wow.
And that's what it is, you know. And then at like 6 or 7 o'clock, you go back on the beach and you take a swim and you come back. But the problem is you're sitting up there, right, and you're talking to everybody. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, kids passing by, you know, it's just the respect. Because they know you're going to get your ass kicked if you don't respect the neighbor or whoever it is. You know, I cannot go down the street. I could have never go down the street without saying good morning.
That's a
you know, because they come back and tell my mother and father, hey, look, guess what? He didn't say good morning. I get my ass tore.
But see, that's a village raising a child, though.
That's right.
That's that old saying that we motherfuckers here act like you got to have huts and motherfuckers walk around with goddamn spears and shit to be in the mindset of a village. A village is a community.
Yes, sir.
All it is, it's just a community. A community of people that's looking out for one another's best interest. And that the main interest is the child.
You hit it on the nose.
That is it. I mean, we look at, they want to see it on TV. I guarantee you, if you put, let Hollyweird, you know what I'm saying, come up with the depiction of a village and shit. And then let that village show that it is raising one child. I bet you $10 million that it will start reflecting in people's communities.
That's always.
Because everybody is so stuck on that fucking boob tube and lives by the boob tube. What the boob tube says is the way I'm supposed to live my life. So if the boob tube saying that, the boob tube needs to portray that it takes a village to raise one child. So you think about all these millions of kids that we have. It takes the fucking world.
Well, you know what? It's too materialistic now. You know, I don't know if you've been to Korea, right?
No, I was over in Germany. So
yeah, well, yeah, I was there too. Matter of fact, I spent 8 years in Germany. Right? But
Deutsch?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch, huh? Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what that one is.
but what happened, right, in Korea, right, you know, we are too materialistic to that point, man, because you know, you have been places, I'm sure, man, to see the decrepit situation where people live, where kids live, you know. You drive into the village in Korea, it, you know, kids just come out of this place, right on the street, they're taking a dump. You understand? You know, but the biggest thing is, man, is just, you know, we think we get it hard. We don't have it hard.
No.
You know, no. I don't think personally we have it hard. We got this racism and all that bullshit, right? But when you're sitting up here and
but you got an opportunity to get away from that though too. That's
yeah,
the whole
yeah.
You know, an opportunity. You ain't no opportunity in no career. You ain't finna just, you know what I'm saying, you walk on the other block. It's another motherfucker shitting on the next block.
Unless you go to another country or whatever it is, yeah. And that's why everybody's fighting to do that.
Right.
They want that opportunity.
Right.
You know, and that's why I said we got to take that opportunity. Like, you know, it is nothing to, like, Christmas time and any other time, right? And your partner from Jamaica will tell you. If I sit up here, right, and I go over to the neighbor's house, I'm getting something to eat. You understand what I'm saying? It's not right. That closing my door to, you know, I don't care what's going on right now. I could go back to Trinidad right now, right? And where I was born in a place called John John, right? Police don't even go up in there, right? You know, but I can still go back, and people still know me. They know my father just by what he have done and different things. And I'm greeted the same way I was greeted when I left.
Why police don't go up there? Why?
Say again?
Why police don't go up there?
Man, look, it's one of the baddest places in Trinidad and Tobago. It is the baddest place in Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, they don't go up there. They just, you know, I mean, everything is up there.
Yeah, place in Jamaica, the police, they want to call police, scared to go there.
I'm telling you, they don't.
I mean, this place all over the world, people have common sense, and they just don't go. It ain't got nothing to do with a badge. It ain't got nothing to do with a weapon in your hand, because just because you got a weapon, that means 10 other motherfuckers got
a
weapon.
The whole neighborhood got a weapon, you know. But what happened, they take care of their kids. They take care of their family. They take care of the people up there, you know. You would know when a stranger come up in there.
That you say that, it's you come down here to Florida. I'm in Tampa. Right across the bridge is a city called St. Petersburg, Florida. Police scared to even patrol the fucking city because these motherfuckers in the house with rocket launchers. These motherfuckers in the house with AK-47s. But when these motherfuckers, when the police shot this old 16-year-old boy and they didn't have a reason, they didn't fuck their own town up. They went and damn near burnt the motherfucking police department down. They went down to City Hall, and if shit wasn't going to get right, they was going to tear that motherfucker up. Because they all about family. That's all they about. If they come over here to Tampa, they come over here to Tampa 10, 15 cars deep, all family, friends related. Just in case. They ain't come over here to start shit. You just ain't finna start shit with them. And don't think they ain't finna stay, you know what I'm saying, as a unit. You know, they work as a unit. They roll as a unit. They party as a unit. We have no unit team. We just got the big Y. Why you want to be close to me? You know what I'm saying? That's why a person always wants to say. You know what I'm saying? Why this? Why that? You know, instead of just coming together. Man, please. You can make millions, you know what I'm saying, with two people. You know what I'm saying? You can only make a couple of hundred thousand by yourself.
But they haven't got that yet. They're really and truly... I think we got the family concept, but we don't want, you know, a lot of us don't want to do it.
We somehow lost. It got lost along the media trail. You know, the media portrays now, mom, go to school. The fuck mom need to be in school for? Going back to college for what? If she went to college out of high school, her shit should be straight. If she got kids at the house, how are you telling a mom to go back to school with children at the house? That's her responsibility. That's her education right there. She needs to learn how to motherfucking raise a kid. And the father needs to learn how to go out and be the bread winner for the household. That's tradition. No independence, all that fucking women equality bullshit. Man, please. Woman, that's cool that you want to go and work. And that's cool if the dad want to reverse the roles and stay home and raise the child, but at the same time, there needs to be summertime, the roles need to be reversed. The mom needs to be staying at home and raising the child, and the daddy need to go take his ass to work because it's a balance that needs to be instilled there. Or a woman, period. Even if, like brother right here, if you don't have that woman that's your baby's mama, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You should have a woman, if you do have a woman in your life, she should be about you and your kids. If she's just about you, you don't need to be with that motherfucker.
I'm going to have it, man. Look, I learned a long time ago. You know, for me personally, I don't tolerate nonsense. You understand what I'm saying? I'm you know, and people who knows me straight away, right? And everything is the same damn way. For me personally, right, I'm about my kids. Right, you're not gonna come into my household, right, and be trifling. That's first and foremost. I'm not gonna talk to you if you're trifling anyway.
Right.
you know. But we settled it, man. Right now, we you know, being in the school system, right? It's certain clubs I don't go to because I know what's out there. You know, how you doing? Fine, thank you. Where your kids at? Right, they're home. How the hell are they home raising themselves? They in elementary school.
Hey, straight up.
You know, and straight up. You know, come dance with me. No, I ain't dancing with your ass. No. You know, and that's why, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, there's certain places I don't go because they're there, you know. And I don't want, you know, you go home, well, I saw your teacher, and I saw this and all that other good stuff. You know, you should keep, you know, a third grader raising a kindergarten and a first grader whilst you out there till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. And that's what we got these days, because now you don't have your grandma's done died off. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no old school grandmas now no more. Now we got the 30 plus grandmas, you know what I'm saying, that wanna damn hang with their daughters and shit. And you trying to find the kid down the street or something to watch all y'all fucking kids while all you stupid motherfuckers go out and try to have a good time. That's not cool though. I mean, on the weekends, you know, once a week on a Saturday or something, okay, that's cool. Get with the girlfriends, you know what I'm saying? And you find a responsible brother like me that will be willing to watch all motherfucking kids, because I understand that, yes, you know what I'm saying, women, from all the hard work that it takes to raise these kids, you do need a breather. So, yeah, a real man is supposed to step up and take that responsibility, you know, and let women go out and vice versa. That role needs to be flipped vice versa, you know what I'm saying? But that has to be done, and that's not being done, though. It's like, fuck it, everybody wants to go. Let's, you know what I'm saying, send the kids to goddamn Chuck E. Cheese, leave their ass at Chuck E. Cheese, and come back in 2 hours because we at the club and shit, letting the Chuck E. Cheese people watch their kids.
Man, I'm going to tell you something that happened. I'm sitting up in here. Usually I leave about 3:45 from school and so on and so forth. I'm sitting up in there in the gym, messing around. It was like 3:45, about 4:30. You're supposed to pick your kid up at 3:30, right? Here you are, a whole hour late, right? Gonna run up in there with about three other friends that you have and talk about sorry, you know. We were just doing something. A whole hour now, you have your daughter sitting out there. You know, we lost our fucking minds, man.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, but then at the same time, Goofy Bone stated it best. I mean, you have to take it. You have to check yourself.
It's not so good. Hello?
Yeah.
Is Donna still on the line?
Yeah, she's still.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
You ain't saying nothing.
I'm listening. You know, the only thing I have to add to that is that, you know, I don't know how many single women, you know, that are, you know, the sole guardians of their own children, where the parent doesn't want, you know, the other parent, the male does not want to have any interaction with the child, mainly because of child support. You know, there was nothing that they would like better, you know, than to share the responsibility and to create a home for the children, but it's just not there. Clubbing is not something that is even in their minds. Just creating an atmosphere where the child is safe and, you know, free to learn and do what they must to get, you know, get their grades, and, you know, hiring tutors and things of that nature. So, you know, it is disheartening. You know, where do you start? You know, I've got one friend who's fighting for custody to keep from paying child support to the other. So, you know, how it's crazy. It's really crazy.
Well, can I ask you a question on that note?
Sure.
I got a question. Right. Anybody who paying child support, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, right? And I can attest to this thing. Do you know how much money that I go through raising these three kids by myself? Okay. So that, you know, $50, $100, $300 for one kid or whatever it is, right? You just don't, you know, people just don't know, right? And I had them when they were 3, 5, and 9, you know, when the mother passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people, to raise a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and now, you know, till they're 23, 19, and 16 now, right? Hell, right? I could have buy a country, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just don't, you know, my thing is, you know, we cry. What has to happen? You have to sit up here, right, and communicate. It takes two to have these kids, right? And what kind of tee me off, man, one pulling the other and the other pulling, and you're talking about dad and dad talking about mom and hell, and the kids is the one who suffers, and we still don't realize that.
So what's your question?
You know, my question is why, you know, they can't sit up here and sing to get it together and communicate with each other, right? And keep pulling and tugging, you know, these kids around like the damn rag dolls.
Because I guess each have their own agenda. One might be bitter. One might be ready to move on, and the other one is just bitter about the fact that, you know, that they've decided to move on and they've decided to use those children as pawns or as a tool to get what they think they deserve or need. It can be various reasons, but as far as my case is, or, you know, my friends are concerned, I think that it is because of you know, their personal grudges that they're holding against each other, and they don't really see that the kids are suffering and that they might be raising someone that could end up like, you know, worse off than, could end up being violent or could end up being very, very resentful, could end up being somebody who, you know, like another friend of mine whose child ended up in jail. For the rest of his life, he'll be in jail. He was 17 or 18 years old, maybe 16, and he's in the prison system and will be there because he accidentally, and again, accidentally went off and shot a girl and killed her. He wasn't pointing it in her direction.
The same guy I know. The same thing happened down here. You know, keep talking to him all the time about spending time. Good football player. Played football with my son. Could have the same scholarship my son had to a university playing football. Right? And I keep telling him, you need to go ahead and spend some time. Now, you want to run all over the place. And there's nothing wrong with church, right? But you cannot sit up here and go to church for 7 days out of the week, right? And your household falling apart.
Right?
The kids sit up here, held up a pizza place. Right, and I got a good friend that's a detective, right? He's the one who arrested him because the dude had a gun, right, running the street.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? He armed and dangerous, right? So they were coming after him. He finally turned himself in. Now he's in jail for robbing the pizza place at gunpoint, and now you're crying. It's your fault that you did that, right? But one of the biggest things that I see that we don't realize, right, if you don't sit up here and communicate with each other and put all this nonsense aside, right, the government takes over, and that's what's happening to our kids right now.
Yeah.
That somebody intervene who are not the father or not the mother and dictate to you what you're going to do with your own kid, and that is asinine to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's, you know, that is, if you listen to, his name is Omali Yeshelta, I think it is, Yeshelta. The prison system is again one of the biggest money making entities in the United States.
Yes, ma'am.
And it is another form of slavery.
Yeah.
And African Americans and people of color will almost get double the time for the crime. Double the time for the crime.
Right.
And so when you look at it, it's like, yeah, they want to throw another one of us in jail. Make sure that you're on your P's and Q's. You do not want to go to jail. You don't want to go to jail. That's the last place you want to go. It is not scary enough for the children because they haven't, their minds have not even developed enough to wrap themselves, their minds around the idea of jail. My cousin grew up in the prison system and pretty much died, you know, in and out of that prison system. Was shot almost, I think at one time, he was shot like more than 5 or 6 times in one incident. And they put him, they patched him up and sent him to jail. And when he came out, you know, he could not function. You know, you go in for 10 years, you come out 10 years later, and the society has changed. You know, they're now out of wagons and horses.
When you went in.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just speaking. But, you know, that's how much the society and the environment has changed so much for him that he can no longer function. So, you know, he would go back to jail because that's what he knew. You know, that's what he knew.
Well, look at your community right now. It seems like every little community, they're building jail.
Right.
You walk down the street, right, and there's a something, right, to incarcerate you in your little community.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get the mess. Mm-hmm. We still, you know, we know, but we're doing, you know. Okay, so what?
That's right. Every time a jail goes up, every time a prison goes up, people need to think, especially people of color, and I don't mean black people. I'm talking people of color because the last two people I was talking to you about, you know, that were having issues in the family were Hispanic and Asian and then African American. But every time a prison goes up, think about this. That's for you. It might not be you, but as long as it's one of us, it's you. That's for you, because that's where they make our license plates. Can you think of anything else they make in there?
Put it here for the military.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, look on the box. You know, I used to be in logistics. I was a PBO, and when they come back, you will see the prison industries on there and tell you what prison it makes up. Shoot, man, it's just ridiculous. How could you sit up here, look in your community, right? And most inner city is what? Damn near 90% black, right? Where do you think they're building the prison at? Right in that same community. You don't see they go out to the suburbs and build no damn prison.
Mm-hmm. For you. For me.
Then at the same time down here, I know this is for a fact, in Tampa, if you ride down the street, on every single other block, there's a church brother. There's no members. Church. You wonder why every Sunday might be 2 or 3 cars here. You know why? Downhill, the churches are linked up with the damn sheriff's department and the police department, and they are part of community control, the so-called thwart the drugs that are in the neighborhood. That is the sole purpose of churches being put up and placed on every other corner.
That's right.
And this is actual paperwork, you know what I'm saying? This is operation, whatever the fuck they call it. And it's they are linked up with churches. They purposely build them. They purposely put video cameras outside the churches that monitor and watch the fucking neighborhood.
Who
coming in? Who's leaving out? And man, please, I'm 31 years old. I done grew up in the hood over 31 years. And it ain't no more drugs than it is where the fuck I'm living at right now, which is so-called suburbs, so-called where just white folks stay at, which honestly, it's more motherfucking Hispanics out here than it is white folks.
Well, you know, one...
This is Smart. Smart, so good. Can I start the show?
Vice Grip.
Yeah.
You should turn your phone down. A little bit.
Yeah, your phone. All outdoors.
You gonna turn up the next show?
Turn
your phone down. Turn it
Turn the volume down on the side, or click the little thing on the side and turn your phone down.
Excuse me, click the little thing on the side.
Man, it's
on the side.
You sound like a real West Indian DJ. Click the little thing on the side.
Well, we got the same phone. He got Boost Mobile and I got Boost Mobile, so
okay.
Yeah, he know what I'm talking about. It's the your volume control button is on the side. They turn your phone loud and turn it down.
Yeah, you're right. You're right with those. Do you know if you look at your community, right? The only entity can put up a building with zone and everything. Any part of the city where they want, I can kill this next to anything is a church.
If they set up next to the strip club, the strip club got to shut the fuck down.
Thank you. Yep.
The strip club has to shut the fuck down, and the liquor store has to limit its hours of alcohol sales if you're located next to a church here in Florida, here in Tampa, that is.
That's everywhere.
Okay, well.
They can come in today, and you could be running a business for 20 years and build next to you. I guarantee in the next 6 months, you shutting down.
Okay. I mean, it's politics and religion run hand in hand. They're the same to me. I don't really focus on that on this show about no politics. That's all it is. So we all as adults understand and know that, you know. And the only thing I want to do is teach our youth, you know what I'm saying, really to stray away from that shit. You know what I'm saying? When you grow up in the politics, make sure that you just know your chain of command, which is all life is about. It's a chain of command. You know what I'm saying? Don't rush out and try to write no motherfucking letter to the president like he's Santa Claus and you want a present in December and shit. You know, learn how to go to your mayor. Learn how to go to your city councilman. Learn how to get in contact with your state representative. Learn how to get involved at the lower level. You know what I'm saying? And then that will trickle any grievance that you have will trickle up. It's not going to shoot straight to the top. It's a trickle effect.
Repeat that. Repeat what you just said, man. I don't think they're listening.
But our kids don't know that. Our kids don't know who the fuck they who the who. Kids down here don't even know who the fuck the mayor is. That's a problem. That is like, oh man, not a bad issue. That is a supremely fucked up issue. Kids do not understand chain of command. The world is nothing. The United States is nothing. So let me put it that way. The United States is nothing but a big-ass military camp. Get on the outside and look in and see how this motherfucker's ran. This bitch is ran just like the military, a.k.a. it's nothing but a big-ass prison with French benefits. Is all. No more, no less. You can call it free, dumb if you want to, because you will be dumb if you think you are absolutely free here. Hell to the no. So what we have to do is instill in our kids to go through the proper channels. Right about now, we can write our own laws. Our kids don't even know that, though. They don't know that. They don't know that if all our kids get together, it only take 1,000 of them to motherfucking get to get whatever they want. They only need 1,000 signatures to get it on a ballot, to get it up to the House of Representatives, and then from there to get it to their mayor, to get it through, they have to go to the city council. From the city council, then they'll send it up to the mayor. From the mayor, she gonna send it up to the governor. From the governor, he gonna send it up to your House of Representatives, your state representative. And then from there, that's the whole trickle up effect. It has to start at the lowest level, though, you know, and we got parents that sit up here and totally forget that, you know. Yeah, go and write the president. The fuck, sir? So they get thrown in the trash. Teach them chain of command. Teach them chain of command in your family, you know what I'm saying, and teach them chain of command about this world. And that's a whole loss. We don't have that. We got the younger brother. You know what I'm saying? Telling the older brother what to do. You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't know from the parent. He wasn't taught from the parent that the younger brother, he's supposed to raise the younger brother and not vice versa. You got the kids motherfucking acting more grown than their older siblings. Because it was a step skip there. It's been steps skipped.
in raising our kids. You know what I'm saying? I don't have kids. I have to tell everybody. I don't have kids. I have kids that I raise. I have kids that to this day call me daddy before they call their biological father daddy. They'll call him by name and call me daddy. That's because when I was with that woman and I was in their life, I was a part of their life. They still are a part of my life. I'm not with their mother, but each and every kid know that they can call me to this day and I'll be there for them like they're my very own. We don't even have parents that had that same type of love and understanding and caring for their own kids that popped out of their
house.
You say house.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean.
I can't do that. I'm cut on the
We'll learn someday, man. Hopefully when spaceships start running around here.
Spaceships?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, you know, look, technology has gone so far, right? Do you think we'll still be driving on the streets in the next 20 years?
I don't think we'll be here to care about it. But, I, you know, it's funny. I used to watch those. I say spaceships not because of what you said. I was laughing with my sister this past weekend. I was away, and I thought we'd be running around, you know, flying around in spaceships by now. You remember Space 1999? Remember that? That's an old one. And so I'm a Trekkie at heart, you know. I was so disappointed. I stayed behind at one of the bookstores here in Virginia to see Sulu, you know, from Star Trek. Man, he is short. that was a trick of the camera there. But yeah, I thought we'd be rolling around in spaceships too.
It's coming. But you know what?
Perhaps the kids think they already are.
I tell you what, it's always enjoyable to have them.
Make
sure we do, but you know what? I'll catch you all in the next show. My kid's just coming with some paperwork for, you know, he's getting ready to head back to college in August, so. You know, paperwork and money, you know, come talking about, you know, here it is, you know, you have to pay, right? Hey, time to go ahead, you know, you cut grass, you do what you got to do, right?
Right.
Yeah. You're playing football, so that's the best way to build yourself up. Go work on a cement truck. But no, it's all good. You know, it's about 5 minutes family time. See what they all need to do, and get them on the right track, man. That's what we need to do. But it's enjoyable to talk about kids, especially when I work with them, man. I always said, sometimes the grown folks, man. I think we have to teach them, right? But we have to also go back and put all our energy back into the young ones coming up, because eventually they're the ones who taking over.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Build the foundation. That's right.
And that's the whole big point with me. You know what I'm saying? That's my whole thing. So, yeah. All right. Well, I'm simultaneous. Playing at one. Uh-oh. I got a sign in the vice grip show. Start that up. Miss Donna, I'd like to thank you for coming through. You know what I'm saying? Definitely. Taking time out your busy day to, you know, check the show out.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
It'll be a pleasure. And don't be a stranger.
No, I won't. I'll be listening to you guys from time to time.
That is definite. And I'm setting up the show. The show is actually ready. I just have to hang up and call in for Vice's show. If you'd like to check that out. And then also my co-host, Miss Natasha, she has a show now too. She's a host. You know what I'm saying? Congratulations.
Oh, really? Is she still
yeah.
there? Is she still online?
Yeah, Tasha, you there, ain't you? There she go. Tasha.
Okay, I'm here.
sorry.
Nice talking to you.
I was sitting there talking to myself. My phone was muted. I'm like, I think I might have a show after Vice Group's show, and it was lovely meeting you. And
you
too. Yeah.
Well, I'll send off my email address so we can stay in touch.
Yeah.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely do that. I'd love that.
2 a.m. Australian time, so, you know, you gotta,
yeah.
Yeah, you gotta remember that time difference. What's up? Oh, she's hung up too. All right. Well, she's going over to the next show. I'm going
all
over
right.
to the next.
Thank
you very much once again. Love, peace,
take
and unity. And that's what it's all about.
Take care.
And thank you, Vice. You know what I'm saying? Once again, my brother, for always being the networker that you are, man. You know what I'm saying? Hooking up, making contact. Very important contact, not the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So I see you on the show, and the show has already started. We're 2 minutes late. I'll be back. You hear me, Vice?
Hello?
All right, you got to hang up because I got to dial into the other show. It's already started.
All right.
All right.